Thank you, Mr. President. I'm tempted to say I agree with everything Canada just said. Thank you to the presenters, and thank you also to Wilfred Wan for raising the gender toolkit, which indeed is very useful. This body is stronger with diverse voices. The UN Secretary General wrote to the President of the Conference on Disarmament in January, transmitting the report of the High-Level Fissile Material Cut-off Treaty Expert Preparatory Group. We listened to an excellent briefing from the chair of the PREP group, Ambassador Hulan, in February. But apart from that, the CD has not fully examined the report and considered further action, as the General Assembly called on us to do in last year's resolution. We welcome the opportunity to do so now. I had the privilege of listening to much of the preparatory group's deliberations with our expert. I was struck by the dedication, constructive spirit, and level of expertise in the room. Together with the GGE report, the PREP group produced a truly invaluable how-to guide for when we start negotiations. In addition to setting out various options for treaty elements without prejudice to national positions, the document provides useful guidance on considerations which provide invaluable context for future negotiations. The next logical step is for us to start negotiations in the CD using the GGE and the PREP group reports as our tools of trade. Mr. President, I want to draw attention to a couple of elements in the report. The first goes to the perennial stocks versus no stocks issue, which is not a binary issue. It is worth looking closely at paragraph 16 of the report, which covers possible treaty elements related to functional categories of fissile material. Helpfully, it breaks the categories down into fissile material produced after entry into force, fissile material produced prior to entry into force for civilian and non-prescribed purposes, fissile material produced prior to entry into force that is designated by the concerned state party as excess to nuclear weapons requirements, and fissile material produced for nuclear weapons prior to entry into force of the treaty. Options are listed under each category. Deepening the conversation on stocks and what we mean by that needs to be part of our conversation. Mr. President, we are all familiar with the arguments that a treaty which includes past stocks would further disarmament and non-proliferation, while one which covers future production would be limited to non-proliferation objectives. We see the issue in a more linear way. A cut-off treaty focused on future production would have significant positive impact on disarmament through measures such as declarations, transparency, and confidence building. These options are covered in the report. Verified assurance that the quantity of fissile material available for use in nuclear weapons is capped is a powerful contribution to confidence enabling nuclear disarmament. Indeed, a ban on new production of fissile material for use in weapons is a necessary part of disarmament. While reducing the size of weapons arsenals is a useful step towards disarmament, the value of such actions is limited if production of fissile material for weapons continues or could be easily resumed. So how do we get closer to being able to negotiate a treaty on fissile material in the CD? States can do quite a lot unilaterally and have done so already, as the US ambassador noted. So states can do quite a lot unilaterally and working together in advance of negotiations to build confidence about the management of fissile material. The report suggests the kinds of mandated and voluntary measures that can help build confidence in an FMCT, including in advance of entry into force. We should not wait to advance exploratory work on some of the necessary verification, transparency, and confidence building measures that could feature in and around any future treaty. We are encouraged by the P5 statement at First Committee last year and China's statement at the NPT PrepCom of ongoing P5 work on this issue, and look forward to this bringing results. Mr. President, the increasingly complex and challenging international security environment warrants fresh thinking on measures to address new and extant risks of nuclear weapons use. Cold War templates for addressing nuclear risk cannot simply be applied to the complexities of today's security environment. While our ultimate shared goal is disarmament, we also have a shared responsibility to reduce the risk of use of nuclear weapons. Nuclear possessor states and non-nuclear weapon states need to undertake measures that will promote trust building and confidence. Reducing nuclear risk builds trust and can help pave the way for further reductions in future. There is a raft of work that we need to take forward relating to safeguarding procedures and safety, clarifying doctrine, increasing predictability, conflict amelioration, and implementing existing non-proliferation and disarmament obligations. We should waste no time or effort in progressing this important area. That is why we introduced risk reduction as a key theme of the current UN Disarmament Commission cycle and are supporting UNIDIR's work. The CD had useful initial discussions on risk reduction during subsidiary body discussions last year, and we can do so again. We are also participating in the Global Enterprises Risk Reduction Working Group and look forward to advancing the issue through the CEND initiative. We would also like to see strong commitments to implementing risk reduction measures agreed at next year's NPT RevCon. Thank you.